You want to go ahead and read the thing?
I do. In April of 1490, something exploded in the skies over the city of Qingyang in modern-day province of Gansu in China. A loud bang, followed by a rain of stones from the sky, sent people fleeing for shelter. This mid-air explosion and rocks hurtling down from the skies is just about the only confirmed part of the event. Descriptions of casualties varies from none to over 10,000. The cause is attributed to a meteor shower, an air-bursted comet, and even severe hail. Even the date is contested, with most sources placing it between late March and early April. On this episode of Relative Disasters, the Qingyang event of 1490. Welcome to Relative Disasters, the show where my sister and I manage our existential dread by talking with each other about terrible and interesting historical events, their context, implications, and any related sidebars that tend to distract us. My name is Greg, my sister's name is Ella, and Ella, today we're going to talk about a mysterious meteor, maybe.
Ooh, fun!
Our sources for this episode include the complete collection of records of celestial phenomena in ancient China, published by the Chinese National Academy of Sciences in 1988, an entry from the History of Ming, articles from the Meteorics magazine, as well as contemporary and retrospective writings and articles. The city of Qingyang sits along the Yangtze River and plays a major role in the history of China, being the heart of the Qin state that would eventually become the Qin dynasty, as well as being an important site for Chinese Communist Party's beginnings. It has a rich history of folk culture, birthing the really cool art form of shuahua, making these little cool pouches or purses out of silk that's been decorated and sewing them up into neat shapes. It's very cool art and has been around for at least 2,000 years. In the late 1400s, your typical Qingyang citizen would have been farming or moving goods to market when something entered the air over the city and exploded. What followed was described as, quote, "Stones as large as goose eggs and as small as water chestnuts fell like rain. The larger weighed as much as 5 caddies, about 1.5 kilograms, around 5 or 6 pounds, and the smaller ones were 2 to 3 caddies. More than 10,000 people were struck dead. The rest fled." End quote.
I'm just imagining someone going to market and just having a giant rock just fall near them or on them.
Well, the rocks weren't that big, but they were big, don't get me wrong, but they weren't as big as like big boulders.
Okay, that makes sense.
The local histories describe huge numbers of fatalities with hundreds or thousands of stones descending and obliterating buildings and people.
Yikes.
The official history of the Ming Dynasty, however, simply relates that stones fell but makes no mention of casualties. This may have been a political decision, as the emperor reigned by the will of heaven. And if it looked like heaven was dissatisfied with his rule, it was grounds to be deposed. There's no doubt, however, that rocks of that size falling out of the sky would kill a good number of people, but exactly how many is left to the mists of history. So what happened? Well, nobody really knows, but here are some cool theories. So theory number one is a low atmosphere meteor shower.
Ooh, what's that?
A shower of meteors.
Oh, wow.
So in order to have a meteor shower, you have to have space debris, or meteors, come down through the Earth's atmosphere and disintegrate due to friction, causing some pretty lights and posing no danger to life. We've got historical records of meteor showers from the late 1500s in the Timbuktu manuscript, and since the early 1800s, they've been tracked and observed, such as the Perseids and Leonids.
And what are those exactly?
Those are meteor showers, and I'm going to talk about them a little bit more later. Meteor showers are caused by comets. When a comet makes an orbit near the sun, some of its ice vaporizes and debris gets knocked off it. That debris gets caught up in the orbital tail of the comet, and when it next passes by Earth, some of that debris gets caught in Earth's gravity and dragged through the atmosphere. If a comet passes relatively closely to Earth, more of that tail gets pulled down, resulting in a low atmosphere meteor shower, where some of the meteoroids don't burn up in the atmosphere and impact the planet. Theory number two, meteor airburst.
And what is that?
Well, I'm about to tell you. This one's my favorite and the theory that makes the most sense. We actually covered this way back in the Tunguska episode. What happens is a meteor enters the Earth's atmosphere and explodes, showering the ground beneath it with fragmentation and concussive force from the explosion. A meteor, when it enters the Earth's atmosphere, is going at least 7 miles a second.
Whoa.
And usually much faster. What this does is it compresses the air in front of it, causing massive resistance force as it continues to plow downwards. That massive exchange of energies in a pushing and stopping manner overloads the structural integrity of the meteor, causing it to fracture, releasing the superheated air that was in the little tiny cracks and faults in the meteor out as concussive force. It makes a big boom.
How big of a boom?
A really big boom. The reason this theory makes a lot of sense is due to the research done on Tunguska. With the amount of force and impact of thousands of tiny fragments of a meteor, if what hit Tunguska had happened at Population Center, it likely would have done the kind of damage described in Qingyang. Other theories include an atmospheric event setting off a combination of burst tornado and hailstorm, sucking up rocks into the funnel and then dropping them back down when the tornado dissipated, a localized earthquake combined with a tornado, and the ever-popular it-was-aliens-aliens-did-it-for-reasons suggestion. After the event, there wasn't much left of the stones, and modern examinations of the site haven't yielded much information either. Since comets follow regular-ish patterns and orbits, scientists can figure with some clarity when meteor showers come around. The Leonids are a good example, coming around every November. Well, there is a meteor shower called the Quadrantids that runs through the end of December through the middle of January, and this meteor shower may have originated when a comet disintegrated. When did that comet disintegrate? In 1490. Where? Over China. So the annual Quadrantids meteor shower may be the leftovers of what exploded over Qingyang. Very cool.
Very cool.
Qingyang rebuilt, of course, and nowadays is home to over 2 million people. While we can't state with certainty what happened, how many people died, or exactly when it happened, well, that's the story of the 1490 Qingyang event.
Here at Relative Disasters, we make sure to fact-check our work to bring you the most accurate disasters possible. If you'd like to know more about our sources, they are cited at the beginning of the episode. Sometimes we do make mistakes, of course, so if you have any thoughts you'd like to share or corrections we need to know, please write to us at relative.disasters@gmail.com. We cannot respond to emails, but we do read each one. Or, if you'd like to share most publicly,
and we know you do,
why not try our Instagram at relative.disasters.
A big thank you to our patrons who support us on Patreon. You guys are great and help us justify keeping this podcast ad-free. We'd like to thank our major disasters, Katie and Georgia, for their support, and this week's episode was brought to you by Aaron.
Aaron!
Certified Meteor Rodeo Rider, and by Shira.
Shira!
Keeping track of all space debris from her outpost on satellite X2J4. Thank you all so much for joining us for this episode. I hope you enjoyed the story, and I hope you'll enjoy us next week.
Try that again. Okay. Enjoy us next week, everyone.
Enjoy us! Please! Enjoy us, okay.
Thank you all so much for joining us for this episode. I hope you enjoyed the story, and I hope you'll join us again next week. My sister has chosen our next topic. What's it gonna be, Ella?
Well, Greg, you know how I love a good infestation story.
Yep.
We're going to Australia next week in what may be the most famous case of an invasive species since the extinction of the dodo. On the next episode of Relative Disasters, we're going to talk about the Australian cane toad invasion.
Have a good week, and I'll see you then.